Hare Krishna. I am so grateful to be with all of you today. Thank you for tolerating for so long time. I won't speak very much. Recently we were blessed by the grace of Srila Prabhupada to be together, many of us, at Sri Govardhan Hill, where we offered an Anakut celebration to the Lord. Perhaps 1,000 devotees that day were cooking on simple little cow dung stoves in an agricultural field at the lotus feet of Sri Govardhan. The cooking went on from the day before to late at night, from very early in the morning. Cow dung and wood. And everyone I saw was weeping. Many due to smoke in the eyes, some perhaps due to the emotion of gratitude for being allowed to perform such an intimate service. And I was thinking how for most of us, either we don't cook, somebody else cooks for us, or if we do cook, we have nice gas or electric stoves and running water. But from one day to another, we forget the experience. But sitting on the ground with all the dust and all the smoke in your eyes, waiting for a little piece of sabji in line, from hundreds of people standing in line for provisions. It was an austerity. But because we were doing it together, and because we were doing it for the pleasure of the Lord, Sri Giriraj, it was an unforgettable experience. Simple acts of love in the association of devotees are more precious than any of the comforts or luxuries in all of the 14 worlds. That is our sampradaya. It is this line of great acharyas who ultimately bring us to value the beauty and the sweetness of the Supreme Lord Krishna through simple acts of devotion. What we value is what our whole life becomes. To value the simplicity of devotion as the only true happiness, the only substantial purpose that there is anywhere, is wisdom. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in the highest ecstasies of love for Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar shared those ecstasies in his books. He told us that his purports were his spiritual ecstasies. And he spent 6 years at Radha Damodar in the Seva Kunja. To write these books. And we read in His Holiness Satsvarup Goswami Maharaj's Prabhupada Lilamrita the troubles Srila Prabhupada took leaving Vrindavan regularly by rickshaws, by trains to Delhi, begging the printers to give paper, which was extremely difficult in those days, to print them even though he had no money. He was relatively unknown. Who's going to buy them? He had no sponsors. He had not really proven himself as a person whose books were going to sell because he never published any other books. But by his conviction and his compassion, he somehow convinced the publisher that he would pay him back after he sold the books. Incredible. Then he took them on the ship to the west and kept writing more and more and more. Hayagriva Prabhu told me in 1966, just after 22nd Avenue was arranged for 1 month because they had no rent for the next month. Srila Prabhupada was living alone there. He met Hayagriva Prabhu, later became Hayagriva Maharaj. He met him just walking down the street, took him back. When Hayagriva Maharaj said that he was an English teacher, Srila Prabhupada asked if he could edit some of his writings. Hayagriva Maharaj, who was then Howard, Professor Wheeler, he thought there would be a couple pages. He said, I could try. And Prabhupada said, come up to my room. He went up to the room, and Srila Prabhupada had these trunks of mountains of manuscripts tied together with ropes. And he gave him a whole mountain of them, this big. And he said, you can start with this. Then he showed him behind. He opened more trunks, and some of them were on the floor. He said, after you complete that, I have these. So simple. The difficulty Srila Prabhupada endured to establish bhakti in the West in America, in Europe, in Africa. And it wasn't any easier when he came back to India. It was so difficult, so many challenges here in Bombay, legal cases, government attacks, disciples who were confused. Prabhupada himself lived with them in poverty. And Mayapur was almost as challenging. Vrindavan, tremendous challenges. Not only did Srila Prabhupada never give up, but he so served with total confidence, enthusiasm, and humility, because he was doing the work of his Guru Maharaj. And it was that love of Srila Prabhupada that was the qualification for millions and millions of people, and hopefully hundreds of millions in the future, to receive real entrance into Vrindavan. Not just the physical proximity of Vrindavan, but the spirit of Vrindavan. Unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to Sri Sri Radha Madhava. Krishna tells in Gita, Daivi Heshu Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya, that this material existence is a very difficult place. Maya is unlimitedly powerful. Unless we understand to whatever extent possible the incredible power of the illusory energy, then we will not truly take shelter of our only hope, the mercy of Krishna. When we come to the path of bhakti, Maya will do everything within her strength to make us fall down. The foundation of all of our strength to keep us up is the mercy of Sri Radha Gopinath. Foundation. Krishna Kripa. The mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And our parampara, which is the grace, the knowledge of our acharyas in disciplic succession, are like a pillar. And Srila Prabhupada, our founder acharya, is who is connecting us to that pillar of the parampara, which keeps us connected to the foundation of Krishna's mercy and our singular hope of remaining on the path of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada promised us if we simply remain faithful to the path of pure devotional service, then he will take us back home, back to Godhead. Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna tells in the Gita, you declare it boldly, Arjuna, that I will always protect my devotee. My devotee will never perish. When Krishna speaks, it is the absolute truth. Every word. When Krishna asks his devotee to speak it, as in Gita, it brings even more emphasis on how Krishna is committed to that word. Mad bhakta pujab yadika. Because the word of a Vaishnav is even more, Krishna feels even more responsible to keep that word, that promise, than his own. Hiranyakashipu challenged Prahlad, you say your God is everywhere. Is he in this pillar? And little Prahlad, 5 years old, said, yes, father, he's everywhere, even in the pillar. Hiranyakashipu smashed the pillar with his fist in wrath, just to defy Prahlad's, what he considered, naiveness, ignorance, defiance. He said, let us see him protect you. I will kill you. He drew his sword and ran toward Prahlad. The little Prahlad was not the slightest bit afraid, because he knew that Krishna was with him. And just to protect the word, the promise of Prahlad, Narasimhadev took birth from a pillar. So when Srila Prabhupada gave us his promise, we should understand how dear that promise is and how Krishna will take responsibility that that promise be honored. He not only made a promise, but he gave his life, his soul, his everything to inspire us to just remain faithful to the path of pure devotional service. Despite the inevitable storms that Maya will inflict upon all of us. And to the degree we have grateful and humble hearts, we can actually feel happiness when those storms come or when those storms go. That is the science of actual happiness. The material conception of happiness is contingent on things going our way. According to what I want, what I expect, that will make me happy. But whoever we are, whatever we have, wherever we live, material world will just not allow that to happen for very long. Whether we're living under a tree or living in a straw hut or whether we become millionaires or billionaires, whether we're sick or whether we're in optimum health, whatever the condition, Maya is going to frustrate from time to time our expectations. Through the storms of duality, when those storms come, if we just remember how to keep connected through Srila Prabhupada's grace to the pillars of Parampara, to the foundation of Radharani and Krishna's mercy, then we could be happy. Krihe tako vane tako sadda hari bole tako suke duke bulo nako varane nam koro re gai gora madhu sware. This is the simple message of Lord Chaitanya. Whether you're grihasta, living with family, or whether you're a sadhu living in ashram or jungle, just take shelter of the holy names of Radha and Krishna. This Maha Mantra, just take shelter. This is the instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Take shelter of the holy names. And in that shelter, we can find true happiness in any situation in life. We have to burst the bubble of illusion. Krishna consciousness is not about being happy because God is going to make things go our way. Krishna consciousness is about being happy through giving Krishna happiness, by taking shelter of Krishna. Tateno kampam sukshamikshamano, with a grateful heart. By hearing regularly, Srila Prabhupada gave us so many of his books to distribute throughout the world and also to read, to remind us of the beauty, the sweetness, the power of the mercy of Krishna, which is infinite and eternal and accessible to everyone if we just take shelter. And Srila Prabhupada taught us that to think that we can do it alone is extremely difficult. He gave the example that if you take little pieces of straw, many, and tie them together, no one can break it. But if you take each straw out individually, even a child could break it. So Maya wants to break us. At the same time, ultimately, Maya is only breaking us so that we take shelter, so that she can't break us. But if she doesn't break us, we won't take shelter of that higher power. So she will break us unless we do. It's not a possibility. It's an absolute reality. So when we are bound together by that common cause of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there is no more, there's no way that Maya could break us. And what is that rope that ties us together? Trinadapi suniche na taror iba sehishnana amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. When as one of us, two of us, three of us, hundreds of us, thousands of us, a whole movement, to the degree we actually take shelter of this primary instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, repeated profusely by all of our acharyas and our beloved Srila Prabhupada, to practice and cultivate humility, forgiveness, tolerance, offering respect to others and not demanding it upon ourselves. In this spirit, when we come together to serve and to chant the holy names, we are empowered. But the power is not our own. We have to be humble to recognize this reality. The power is not yours or mine. The power is Krishna's. Coming through the grace of the acharyas. And by developing this attitude of servant of the servant of the servant, and remaining faithful to Srila Prabhupada's simple instructions, all that power will be there for us. What is it that we really want? We were discussing in Vrindavan Yatra an event that took place in Gokul Mahavan, where that simple fruit vendor, who according to the Srimad Bhagavatam was something, she was without a caste. She was a dweller of the jungles, no education, absolutely no social position, no wealth whatsoever. But this world is a struggle for survival. Whoever we are, we have to make a living. So she would just gather fruits and put it in a little straw basket and call out very loudly, "Does anyone want to buy my fruits?" She came to Gokul. And little Krishna, he was a small child, hardly about 3 years old, he came running to her with some grains in his hand. But his hands were so tiny. In his enthusiasm to trade the grains for the fruit, he ran so as fast as he would run. Krishna says in the Upanishads, it tells that the Supreme Absolute Truth is faster than the fastest, faster than the speed of mind. He has infinite legs, although he has no material legs. He has infinite arms, although he has no material arms. He has infinite eyes, although he has no material eyes. But yet he was running as fast as he could run. This is rasa. And by the time he came to the fruit vendor, he offered this lady, there was hardly one or two tiny little grains left in his hand. But he smiled upon her. That smile enchanted her heart. She wanted nothing else but to please him. She didn't care about the one or two grains. For all the wealth in the world, it wouldn't be as valuable as giving happiness to this little boy. She didn't know he was God. She just wanted to please him because he stole her heart. So she took practically all the fruits of her basket, whatever would fit in Krishna's tiny little hands, and then she put it in his arms. Little Gopal smiled and ran away. And went home and told his... Yashoda Mai was standing, and he grabbed her sari cloth and started wrapping the fruits in them. It wasn't many fruits. She said, "Where did you get these fruits?" Gopal said, "There was a lady selling fruit, and I gave her grains, and she gave me these fruits in exchange." And Yashoda Mai became worried that little Gopal is mixing with ladies from the jungles. Said, "My child, you can't trust everyone like you trust people at home." And Gopal smiled and said, "I do not know what is not to trust." Meanwhile, the fruit vendor lady, she didn't even notice. But because she gave those few little fruits with love, her basket filled with the most precious celestial jewels. Diamonds and rubies and emeralds and pearls, but not the kind of jewelry that they sell just behind Radha Gopinath Temple and that jewelry bazaar. Those are, with all respect to whoever sells the jewels, they're insignificant in value. These were divine celestial jewels. She didn't notice it because she was so enthusiastic. She got such unlimited pleasure in her heart by making Krishna happy that she wanted to get all the other fruits that she had at home and bring them to Krishna's house without asking anything in return. So she picked up the basket and ran home. The incredible thing is, can you imagine how heavy her basket was? Because jewels weigh much more than fruit. But she thought her basket was empty. She just was that enthusiastic. She ran home, put the basket down, and got all the other fruits in her little hut, and went to put it back in the basket, and that was the first time she noticed it was over flooding with precious gems. And she didn't care about those gems. She was feeling such intense anxiety of separation from seeing Krishna. Krishna's little smile enchanted her heart to such an extent. A moment was like 12 years or more for her not seeing that smile. She saw the jewels and just didn't pay any attention to them. She only wanted that smile and to please Krishna. And she, whatever fruits she had left, she just left those jewels behind and ran to give more fruits to Krishna. Pleasing the Lord is real happiness. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishasvima suchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. I remember one of my very, very dear God brothers asked me a question. Now, this God brother was far more advanced than me. He was constantly chanting the holy names. But the nature of advanced devotees is they always want to engage others in Harikatha, in talks about Krishna. So this devotee asked, when we surrender to Krishna, it's not our motive to be delivered from all sinful reactions. This is not what Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us. This is the essence of the Gita. Abandon all varieties of religion, and Krishna promises, if you surrender, I'll relieve you of all sinful reactions. But the purpose of the Bhagavatam is ahoitiki apratihata. We simply serve for Krishna's pleasure. Samsadir hari toshanam. So why is Krishna saying he'll deliver us from all sinful reactions? Why is he offering us such a small thing when he could give us something so much greater? That's what he wants to give us. And then he quoted the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam where it describes if we offer obeisances to the Lord and chant his holy name, he will relieve us of all sins. The gopis, they didn't care about sins, or they didn't even care about their own happiness. They only cared about Krishna's happiness. So when Krishna says, deliver all sins, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhya jimnam namaskuru mam evaisha shi satyam te prati jani priyoshim. It is his promise. In the verse prior, he tells us what it means to surrender. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. In this way, you will come to me without fail. Krishna delivers us from our sins so that ultimately we could come to him without fail. And Srimad Bhagavatam explains the beauty of the Lord's abode in his Vrindavan Leela. Unconditional devotional service. So here in Vrindavan, this little fruit-selling lady, she had no material qualifications whatsoever. She wasn't a yogi, she wasn't a mystic, she wasn't a jnani. But she wanted to please Krishna above and beyond everything else. She just didn't care for any distraction. Fame, prestige, power, wealth, if they are used in Krishna's service, that is yukta vairagya. But if our goal in life is not to make Krishna happy through whatever we do, Shrameva hi kevalam. It's just a distraction and a waste of precious time. So she went running back, and she was outside of Krishna's house. And Krishna ran out to give her his darshan. There was nothing else that she wanted. You water the root of the tree, and every part of the tree is happy. Krishna is the root of all existence. If Krishna is satisfied, that is the happiness of a devotee. Understanding of this frees us of the false ego. Kali Yuga is such a difficult time. It's a time of quarrel and hypocrisy. Srila Prabhupada would often cite that in Kali Yuga, people's egos are so aggravated that even over the slightest thing, there's fight, there's argument, there's divorce, there's disconnection, or even there's war. From Srila Prabhupada's perspective and the perspective of liberated souls, even the great world wars are fought, sometimes millions of people dead, over insignificant things. Because actually, on this worldly level, no acquisition or loss is significant. Because at the time of death, you're going to lose everything anyway. Why we fight? Why we have to argue? Why we have to prove that we're the best, individually or collectively, or that we're right and everyone else is wrong? In the name of nationalism, in the name of religion, or just in the name of human dealings. Because Kali Yuga is surcharged with this energy of such exasperated, aggravated false egos and such little spiritual sadhana to curb those tendencies that there's so much hardship of greed and lust and envy and anger and arrogance. An illusion. But if we just make this the standard, by hearing these beautiful stories and hearing this philosophy, Srila Prabhupada gave us these books to fix us in this conviction. And all of our acharyas gave their books to fix us with the conviction that your happiness is in making Krishna happy. And any other attempt will only continue bondage and suffering. So this fruit vendor, when Krishna came out, she just gave him the rest of her fruits. And his smile, his happiness, was the ultimate perfection of all of her desires. Krishna gave her prema bhakti. That was the real jewel. Doesn't even talk about what she did with the other jewels in the basket. The basket of her heart was filled with the Purushartha Siromani, the crest jewel of all perfections and goals in life. Prema Bhakti. Unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And what was Krishna's wish? He gave her his love and absolutely satisfied her desires forever. But then he ran back in and told Yashoda Mai that give out the fruits to all our friends and relatives and everyone else. Because for him, these fruits were the love of his devotee. And he wanted everyone to taste the love of his devotee for him. So Yashoda Mai had the fruits in her sari, in her cloth, and she went out and was giving them out. And it says, anybody who tasted even a single fruit, it was so nectar that they could never forget the taste of that fruit. What was the taste of that fruit? Krishna wanted the people to taste the fruit of the love of his devotee. And from material standards, an untouchable, uneducated, poverty-stricken woman from the forest. But she offered them with love. Therefore, those fruits had an unforgettable taste. And even more mystifying than that is Yashoda Mai gave out fruit after fruit after fruit. She was giving dozens and dozens and dozens. There was only a few fruits in her sari. She was giving them out all day long, and there was still fruits. There was no end to the fruits. When she went to bind Krishna just earlier to this past time, when she went to bind Krishna with the rope had no end. And now the fruits had no end. Because Krishna wanted everyone to taste the love of his devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Varanasi, he said, I am a fruit seller. My fruit is prema bhakti, and I have so many fruits. But I, with my two hands, how many can I distribute? I'm appealing, whoever is my devotee, help me to distribute these fruits of love for Krishna. And you will be most dear to me. Krishna tells in Gita, one who gives this message to other of prema bhakti is most dear to me, and there will never be anyone more dear to me. Yashoda Mai was distributing the fruits of the devotee's love. What is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? From the perspective of this Leela we are discussing, it is sharing with the world the ecstatic, nectaring fruit of Srila Prabhupada's love for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada sacrificed everything for the pleasure of Krishna. And his love is within his books, and his love is within his lectures, and his love is within the service we offer to him, and his love is within the society that he created. And to honor and appreciate that love, there's nothing greater we could do to make Krishna happy, to satisfy the Lord. And it's so simple. whether we're an Aboriginal woman living in the forest, or whether we're great scholars, whoever we are, that spirit of simple devotion, by enlivening and sharing Krishna with each other in a genuine spirit of being servant of the servant of the servant, not putting our expectations in the center of our life. Krishna is most pleased when we serve the servants of his servants. And when we all come together to serve, bound up by this principle, then Maya cannot break us. And this is Sankirtan. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the Sankirtan movement, this is what he was talking about. Together chanting in this spirit the holy names of the Lord. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to Vrindavan through the Jharikhanda forest, he was inducing everyone, whether they were humans or insects, birds, animals, creepers, trees. Everyone could chant the holy names of the Lord and become perfect. And in this age of Kali, he gave a beautiful example. The Vrindavan spirit. On one side of him were so many tigers following. On the other side of him were many deer. Now Srila Prabhupada explains how tigers and deers are the worst enemies. When a tiger sees a deer, but when you and me see a deer, we think, oh, such beautifully shaped ears and such innocent, loving eyes, and how they run, they're so grateful, they jump and they... But when a tiger sees a deer, there is only one thing on the tiger's mind: to catch it, to sink my powerful fangs in its neck and kill it and drink its blood and eat its flesh. That's all. See, the world we all see according to our particular state of consciousness. Tiger doesn't see anything in a deer except to kill and to eat. And if he's already eaten one, if a deer goes by, he doesn't even bother looking at it. And for the deer, when a deer sees a tiger, the deer doesn't think, oh, such incredible stripes and colors, and he's so strong. Only when the deer sees a tiger, only sees the most horrible violence, suffering, and death. That is their relationship. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to the tigers and the deers and told them to chant the holy names of Krishna. And they started chanting just to make him happy. because he looked upon them with so much love and compassion, they wanted to make him happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna in the mood of Radha's love, and he could relate to everyone because he's the super soul in everyone's heart. He could connect with even them in such a way that they wanted to make him happy. So the deer started chanting and the tigers were chanting, and soon they were all dancing. And by the power of the holy name and the power of Lord Chaitanya's influence, he showed us what Sankirtan really is. Despite the vast differences and the hereditary, genealogical, historical hatred that they have for each other, each tiger and deer ran to each other to embrace with love. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says, not only were they embracing an ecstatic love for Krishna, an ecstatic love for each other, they were kissing each other. Now, we can't imitate such great souls, but we can understand through the principle. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing the deers and the tigers, because they loved Krishna, they loved each other. And they were dancing and singing and embracing and kissing in their kirtan. What were the words that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited? From Srimad Bhagavatam. How this is Vrindavan. In the forest of Vrindavan, even inimical species of life, they forget their animosity and they love each other. Why? Because in Vrindavan, their ego, ahankar, is put aside because they're attracted to Krishna, the pleasure of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. This is Sankirtan. Mahaprabhu, Srimad Bhagavatam tells, Yagyai Sankirtana Priya Yajanti Hi Sumedashaha. In this age of Kali Yuga, those who have good intelligence will surrender to the Supreme Lord who has come in a beautiful golden form by performing Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan because he knew in this age of Kali, the way to bring people into Vrindavan within our hearts is through Sankirtan. It's not a cheap word. Sankirtan, as Mahaprabhu gave us, as Srila Prabhupada gave us, is like these tigers and deers, where we transcend the influence of Kali Yuga by putting Krishna in the center. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Haridas Thakur the Namacharya. His only qualification was that he was humble, he was tolerant, he was forgiving, he respected everyone, even his enemies, he was the well-wisher toward, and in that spirit, he could chant the names of the Lord constantly. That is our standard. Anyone can blame people, blame others for whatever they're enduring in life, but that only perpetuates the suffering and the bondage. We have to learn to rise above this and develop real relationships based on Trinadapi Sunichena, putting Krishna in the center, being grateful for whatever may come, because in every situation we can take shelter of chanting the holy names. This is what Srila Prabhupada sacrificed so much to give us. And it is what he has begged us to accept. To create an international society for Krishna consciousness. So we'll go back to Govardhan Hill after we got our eyes purified and our lungs purified. We all together brought the offerings to Sri Giriraj. And from what I was told, there was 1,650 offerings cooked in a field on little clay stoves. And approximately 5,000 devotees sitting on the banks of Dana Nivartan Kund. Our Prayojana Acharya Raghunath Das Goswami wrote a whole book about the pastimes that takes place there between Radha Krishna and the gopas and gopis. We were all sitting in that holy, holy place at the lotus feet of Sri Giriraj. And each and every one of us made an offering in our hearts. There were 5,000 pujaris that day. With our eyes closed, Giriraj, accept this offering. And we weren't just offering what we made individually. We were offering what everyone made. Again, this is Sankirtan. Krishna was happy with everything, with the unified mood or spirit of making an offering of the devotion of the whole congregation. And it was so beautiful to see all those offerings being offered to Giriraj through Srila Prabhupada in our parampara. And today, I'm looking out and seeing an even more incredible Anakuta festival. Because each and every one of you, I don't know if there's 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 preparations out there today for your all beautiful offerings sitting at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Each with your own special spice, with your own special subji, your own special colors, and whatever else, the variegatedness. You see, if everybody offered bindi with the same spice to Govardhan, it wouldn't have been such a nice Anakuta. Yes, but there were bindis. And there was potatoes, aloo, and there was all sorts of different kinds of squashes. And there was hundreds of sweets and hundreds of subjis and rices. And the colors were incredible. The variegatedness. That's beautiful. It's not that we should want every devotee to be just like me. To honor, respect each devotee for who they are and what they are, and to appreciate the sincerity, the devotion, and the love of each devotee. And today, as insignificant, as unqualified as I am, coming from the background I'm from, of course, it seems like a long time ago. But by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy, I feel kind of like a little simple pujari today. Because that's how I started my spiritual life, milking cows and being a pujari as far as within ISKCON. I was a pujari on a mountain. And I'd herd cows. So nothing's really changed. I feel like a little cowherd boy trying to herd all you cows and bulls back to the eternal pasture of Srila Prabhupada's loving divine grace so that you can sumptuously taste his mercy and be happy forever. And then we expect you to give good milk in the qualities that you have and in the way you come together to chant the holy names. Because if you just eat grass but don't give milk or pull bullocks, then you don't really get satisfaction. Vrindavan, the cows, and they eat the grass, and then they give the milk to Krishna. So we receive the instructions, we receive the grace, and then we offer for the pleasure of Krishna. We serve the whole Vaishnava community. It's beautiful. And to dovetail my pujari propensities, you're all like so many different incredible variegated preparations. You're all bhoga. And I'm offering you all to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada will offer you to Sri Giriraj, Haridasvaraya, through Parampara. And then you all become prasad. You all become representatives of Srila Prabhupada and Radha Gopinath's mercy. So let us all make this offering. Offering our lives individually and collectively. In fact, we could offer every living entity in the whole universe at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Because he has been empowered to offer everything and anything, who simply has the will, to Sri Radha Shyam Sundar and the eternal abode of Vrindavan. Thank you very much.
Zolini Zradana Swami Maharaj Ki. Zolini Zradana Swami Maharaj Ki. So we would like to thank Maharaj. In fact, Srila Prabhupada would say, Aniyor, Aniyor.
We're just waiting for you to announce when the prasadam will be. Thank you very, very much. I owe you my body, mind, words, and life to anyone who allows me to assist them in Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's service. I am forever indebted. Thank you.
We shall have now Pushpanjali offered by Radhesham Prabhu. All of you could gently rise and we will have volunteers distributing flower petals. After Pushpanjali read by Radhesham Prabhu, Guru Puja will be offered by Srinathji Prabhu and the Kirtan will be sung by Gaur Gopal Prabhu. Radhesham Prabhu, are you ready?